Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your darling and dashing host, Coach Nevada, coming to you live from Detroit, Michigan, where it is freezing cold. But it's a cool place to be for friends and family and stuff alike. I don't normally do a Sunday show, but in light of the recent situation currently unfolding in Paterson, New Jersey, I thought it would be a good idea to bring back a former guest, Councilman Kenneth McDaniel, who was running for the city council, and we want to bring him back to talk about what's going on in Paterson, New Jersey, some witness tampering, voter fraud, stuff of that nature, and we want to get his perspective on it. Ken McDaniel, are you there? Mr. McDaniel.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Thank you. Tell us a little bit about who Ken McDaniel is before we go into the issue of there's been some arrest of the guy who you were running against, your candidate, et cetera. But tell us a little bit about who Ken McDaniel is before we go into the issue of what's going on right now.
Okay. Well, I am a Patersonian by way of Florence, Alabama. Came to Paterson when I was 4 years old. I have a bachelor's degree in sociology, a master's degree in administrative science, and a PhD in education administration. I'm currently the assistant principal at a local high school in a neighboring town. I was recently appointed as a commissioner of the planning board in the city of Paterson, and I'm involved with a number of organizations, the NAACP, my neighborhood association, which is the Hillcrest Neighborhood Association, an organization called the Brothers of Paterson Incorporated, where we do community service and community outreach, and I guess I can just stop right now. I could actually continue, but
yeah. Yeah, so you seem to be quite the busy community activist, Dr. McDaniel. But when you were on the show before, my producer mentioned that you, of course, you talked about the your candidacy and running against, I believe it's Hugo Rodriguez?
Correct.
Yeah, and I want you to talk a little bit more about that because according to my producer, Leslie Gist, you said some pretty prophetic things in way of some scandalous nature going on with the whole voter thing and the process of how the votes are collected or something like that. Hugo Rodriguez has apparently been arrested at his home on Thursday morning along with his wife, and I think his campaign manager was also arrested, and they're taken into custody. What's going on with that whole issue, and what does that mean in the sense of the race? Does that mean you get to be the city council now? How does all of that go? What does this mean?
Well, first, I guess I'll say that it is still very early. You know, the gentleman, the councilman, was arrested. There are a number of allegations. His particular arrest charge, I believe, is witness tampering. There were a total of 14 people connected with him altogether that were arrested, and their charges range from voter fraud to witness tampering and things and related charges.
I need to be clear. What does that mean, witness tampering? I mean, what does that mean? I understand what witness tampering means, but what has that got to do with the whole,
Yeah, it's a good question because this case had a lot of twists and turns, and you really have to be well versed in the background of this particular situation. I had some concerns with the way a lot of peculiar things took place, and I ultimately had to find a vehicle to address those concerns, and we filed a lawsuit, a civil suit. And with the civil suit, there were witnesses involved in that situation. In addition to that, I wrote letters to the powers that be, local people, local entities such as the Passaic County Prosecutor's Office, as well as the State Attorney General's Office. They launched an investigation as well. They subpoenaed several individuals. I don't know which witnesses he may have tampered with or, contacted. I don't know if it was the state's witnesses. I don't know if it was my witnesses or what have you, because the AG's office, their protocol is not to communicate with any citizen regarding any ongoing investigation. So there's been no direct communication between myself and the Attorney General's office. So I'm not sure which witnesses he's being accused of, doing things illegal with.
Okay. Here in an article in the Politics Daily by, I think this is Carla Baranaka, she noted that you raised questions of voter fraud, saying the ballots had been faked or tampered with.
Correct.
Some 49 uncounted absentee ballots were covered. So you started the initial investigation.
Correct.
Based on what?
Well,
Well,
it had been widely speculated, kind of known in certain political circles, which I was not a part of, because I'm a newcomer to the actual political arena. However, it had been widely known, or widely speculated, I should say, that the councilman and others were engaging in things that were illegal with regard to mail-in ballots. However, there was no direct way of looking into what was going on, and there was no reason, actually, to do that. So I was announced the winner of this particular election on May 11th.
Okay.
So, and 3 weeks later, at the request of Councilman Rodriguez, he put in for a a recount because he couldn't believe that he lost the election, I guess, to a newcomer. He was an incumbent. And he
right.
put in for a recount. And at that recount, we learned that the day before the court ordered recount, which was June 2nd, the day before that, mysteriously and miraculously, 49 uncounted ballots for Mr. Rodriguez were found
mm-hmm.
just the day before the recount. So
mm-hmm.
A judge ordered that these ballots for Mr. Rodriguez be counted. And
mm-hmm.
those gave him a 41-point lead, a 41-vote lead because of those ballots that were, lost and then found just in time
mm-hmm.
for his recount. And
okay.
being that those individual ballots were they all went to one individual. So we didn't have to it was known who the ballots were for because it was counted in open court. So
mm-hmm.
we thought that whole thing was suspect. All of the ballots had been, they weren't mailed in, although they were mail-in ballots. These ballots had been dropped off by campaign workers of Mr. Rodriguez. They had been dropped
okay.
off at the Board of Elections. So three individuals dropped off all of 47 ballots that were, counted. Two of the 49 were thrown out for whatever reason. I don't know why. I don't remember why. But the 47 that they did count, all of those were brought in by his people. So they had those in their possession. So
mm-hmm.
it made me want to look into that a little bit. And that's what I did. And once I started looking into it, I found out that there were some major irregularities. The actual voters indicated in written statements that a number of irregular things transpired. The people that were listed on some of these ballots and the accompanying documentation, those individuals were unknown to the actual voter. And this is fraud in and of itself. So you have to be – it's a very difficult thing to explain because most people don't know what those rules are, even judges and lawyers and what have you. It's not a common thing. Election law is not common at all. You know, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Elections only happen every so often. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, people don't really need to be versed in all of the nuances that come along with those laws. But
okay.
you have individuals that are called bearers, and they can bring a voter's ballot back to the Board of Elections. Now, these bearers are supposed to be known to the voter. However, we have bearers that are unknown to the voters. You have voters stating that they never voted by mail, that they never signed any documentation. You have voters saying that they only signed paperwork, but they didn't fill in any of the votes on the ballot, that the votes had already been filled out for them by other individuals. These things and many more are violations of the of election law. And this is what I asked the State Attorney General's office to look into. And
okay,
it seems – go ahead.
Well, I wanted to note that according to the Baranaki's piece, she says that 11 people were arrested, again, arrested Tuesday and Wednesday, and are accused of falsifying absentee ballots and et cetera. I think one woman voted twice on her married name and her maiden name. Is this something that has occurred before with the council elections?
With regard to charges, I would say no. I don't recall anything like this ever happening, and the other people that I'm close to and who've been around longer than me don't recall anything happening with regard to charges. However, with regard to the actual acts, yes, it's widely believed that this is commonplace. You have a number of politicians who are not in a position to actually win elections outside of doing all of these schemes and things of that nature.
We're going to jump in here, and I want to let the callers know that we do see their calls, and we're going to take some calls in just a minute. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to run for office and what you had planned to do. Why were you interested in running for city council?
Well, I'm not happy with a lot of the things that I see, you know, as far as your taxes, crime, schools, pollution, a number of different things. And I was definitely in a position where I could leave my my town
okay.
and go to another town that had less of these things that I saw as problems. However, I didn't feel that that was the right thing to do. I don't think that everyone is in a position to help and make a difference all of the time. And I felt that I was in a position to help and make a difference. So I wanted to stay here and make a difference. I think that my contemporaries, so many of us have fled this area. We go and we get degrees and jobs, and you get a family, and you want to go somewhere and make a better life for your family. So I can't necessarily fault those individuals. However, with everyone leaving, not everyone, but with so many of us leaving, what does that leave for the others coming up? See, they don't necessarily get to see certain people. Well, I was the vice principal at school number 20 in Patterson, and in that neighborhood, we had a path mark. When I used to go to that path mark, it was like, you know, like Michael Jackson had came to the path mark, because they were not used to seeing their vice principals or principals or what have you in the community with them. And that gave me a good feeling, and I wanted to stay here and do good work here.
Okay, let's take a caller. Caller 347, area code 347, are you there? Caller at area code 347, are you there? Okay, maybe they hang on. Let's take another one. Caller at area code 810. Hello? 347?
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Are you there, Dr. McDaniel?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, let's see if we can get another one. Caller at area code 818. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's your question for Dr. McDaniel?
And my question is that this seems to be a prevalent thing with incumbent officials of late. I'm of the understanding that this may have been in existence for a while. And why is it just now coming to be challenged in various, you know, elections? I believe that this type of thing has been, especially with long-time incumbents. I want to know, why is it just now being challenged? And while you're in, that's first question. While you're in office, are you going to try to start a nationwide mandate that this kind of thing be made easier for citizens to get clarity on these matters? Those are two questions. Thank you.
Okay, Dr. McDaniel.
Yes, with regard to why it hasn't been challenged in the past, I really don't know. I was placed in a position where I felt it was my obligation to challenge it. I can say that it would have been easier, less taxing, less of a financial burden, less of a roller coaster up and down battle if I had just walked away. But, you know, I felt that I had an obligation, being that I was thrust into this situation, to take it in, until the end. So, you know, other folks may not have felt that same obligation. I don't know. But in my case, I felt that obligation, so I continued to stay with it until, you know, until the very end, because I want to expose this. I want to eradicate it. I want to, you know, have a situation where the voters in this particular town, the city, feel that the process has integrity and they can trust that their votes will be counted properly and that politicians don't benefit off of fraud and corruption. And
okay.
the second question was, if I get in office, will I try to start a nationwide campaign to, you know, to help address this this issue? I had not thought on that large of a scope. However,
mm-hmm.
that's definitely something that I would not rule out. I would definitely be working in the local area as much as possible, city level, county level, state level, and if we can take this national, because this is a problem that's actually running rampant throughout the country. And from my research, I found that they're doing the exact same thing. It's not,
okay.
It's not different. I know
okay.
of cases in Texas where they're doing the exact same thing to the T.
Okay. Let's get another caller in here. Caller 347, are you there? Caller 347, area code 347, you have a question for Dr. McDaniel. Okay. Dr. McDaniel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Let me ask you a question about Patterson and just this image it has of being a corrupt city. I remember years ago, my sister dated a gentleman from Patterson, and I remember the response my brother gave before I had ever really heard of Patterson. When you think of movies that have depicted the whole Patterson environment, I'm thinking of a Hurricane movie with Denzel Washington. I'm thinking of Lean on Me with Joe Clark. What does that mean for you, or are those themes that you think about in how you plan to change the image of Patterson?
Yes, I mean, we definitely have some things that are negative, but we also have a number of great things that we should really highlight. We should start highlighting the positive in Patterson, and we should start teaching the positive to all of the citizens, but especially those that are going to school each day, because
mm-hmm.
you have a captive audience there, and you have an excellent opportunity to start to highlight some of the positive things that have happened in our history and also the current things that are going on now that don't
mm-hmm.
receive the type of attention that they should receive.
Like what?
Well, you have a number of community organizations that are doing excellent work. You have a number of people that have gone into every single area that you can possibly imagine,
mm-hmm.
like the entertainment field. We have people that are high in that field, like vice presidents of marketing of various companies and things of that nature, who are doing excellent work, and they come from Patterson. Many of them may not live here now, but it's those stories that need to be told, and the people that are currently here can use that as inspiration to better themselves.
Do you think that this imagery, particularly, the outside perspective of Patterson, chase away potential residents?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
That's unfortunately part of the reason, I would speculate, and I believe that it's part of the reason why one of our neighboring towns just recently successfully changed its name. The town was called West Patterson, and
okay. They
changed their name. They kept the initials of WP, but the name was changed to Woodland Park. It seems like an obvious intent to not be associated with the things, some of the negative things that may have gone on or continue to go on in the city
mm-hmm.
of Patterson.
I believe that Von McCoy recently donated $1 million to the Great Falls. I don't know if you know anything about that. And is this something that typically handles? Do you have people, outsiders or various charitable organizations donating to the upliftment of Patterson?
Yeah, people donate to worthy causes, and definitely the falls is a worthy cause, and we do plan on having a major renovation of that area. The current administration, the Mayor Jeffrey Jones, has several plans to create a business corridor where you have restaurants and things of that nature, where people from within the city and people from outside can come and enjoy the view and the things that the falls have to offer. So there are plans that are in place, and any donations coming in, I would believe, would help us reach some of those goals even faster.
Mm-hmm. As an elected official, what would be your first order of business? Would it be education? Would it be to strengthen the police force? What would you do?
Well, those questions are definitely good. However, your first order of business is to hit the ground running. There are things that are going on now, whether they're on my list or not, that once you're in a position, you have to respond to. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
like what I just mentioned, that would be something that I would be definitely interested in, and I would definitely get on board with regard to seeing those projects and similar projects come to fruition. However, you also have the things that I spoke about as far as the crime, education, the school system. Our district is under state control. At some point, we would be looking to return to local control. I mean, there's so many different issues, and it's very hard to say that one deserves more attention than the other.
Mm-hmm. How are you handling the national press regarding this matter, this witness tampering and fraud, voter fraud matter?
Well, I just answer questions that they may have and give statements to the best of my ability. I give truthful responses, and I talk about what has transpired, what we would like to see happen, and things of that nature. So I'm just frank with whether it's Channel 2, Channel 7, whatever it may be, Wall Street Journal, whatever it may be, I try to give the appropriate answer, the frank and honest answer regarding this situation. It is unfortunate. I do believe that it is a black eye on the city of Patterson, but it's something that it appears that we have to go through, because so many people are saying that this is something that's been going on for years. At least in the past few elections, whether they be school board, municipal, or what have you, there's been allegations that these things have been going on for a while. And if they have been, then we need to bring that to light. And if let's just say on the flip side, even though I don't believe this to be the case, but on the flip side, if in fact nothing was done wrong in this election, in the prior elections, that information needs to come out as well. Again, I'll state that I don't believe that that's the case, but what I am just trying to allude to is that this particular process, what we're going through right now, is something that we need to go through in order to find out the truth.
Okay. Any plans for higher office?
Not
What's
at the
in
moment.
Your political future?
Not at the moment. I'm just looking at this particular seat right now, and to see this particular situation through to the final conclusion.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I know you have a website. If you can mention your website in any way that we might have some other people who want to contact you with questions, if you could give us your information, that would be great.
Okay. The website is Leadership for A Better Patterson.com. leadership for betterpatterson.com, and I can be reached at abetterpatterson@gmail.com. Patterson is with one T. That's abetterpatterson@gmail.com. And I'm also, of course, on Facebook under Ken McDaniel. We do have a group page called Leadership for a Better Patterson.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Dr. Ken McDaniel out of Patterson, New Jersey. Thank you for being with us. This is Push Nevada signing off. Just the Freedom Show, and we'll see you next Thursday. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.